everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable episode 249. Yes, 249. We are talking about Angel season 4 episode 13, Salvage, and season 4 episode 14, Release. That's right, double Angel this week. My name is Caitlin, and I am joined today by fellow superfan Mai and newbies Brittany and Ariana. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
So just a reminder of how you can get in contact with us. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com. And you can find us over on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And as usual, before we jump into our discussions, we are going to get you used to the sounds of our voices with some fun facts. So, Brittany, what's your fun fact this week?
So before we started recording, I was saying how I was running a little bit late because I was doing laundry, and I have to do laundry today, and I'm on my third load because I had no clothes left as of this morning. And this week at work, everyone was like, "You're dressing like really nice," and it's because I ran out of black pants, and so I was wearing like dresses that I had bought for work and skirts that I had bought for work, but I'm just way too lazy to ever actually put any effort into wearing. And so this week I wore like all these nice clothes and I realized I should probably try harder because I must have been just dressing way too cash comfortable for work before this week. So I'm gonna step up the wardrobe game going into the next week at work. So don't do laundry and you'll see a whole new side of yourself through the eyes of others.
That's I think amazing. It's so funny, Brittany, because usually when you hear people say like, "Oh, I had to wear whatever was left over," they're like, "That thing I like wore when I was in high school and it's like all ratty now." But you're like, "No, I wore my nice clothes."
Oh, I literally like walk into work and they're like, "Wow, you look so nice today." And I'm like, "Oh, man. All right. I guess I did buy this dress for a purpose and should probably wear it." But like the black pants are just so easy with like a nice, like comfortable sweater when it's 5 degrees in my office. So I'm gonna try harder, guys. This gave me the motivation to try harder.
Need to post some outfits. Pictures, Brittany.
I know. I honestly, Caitlin, I thought of you this whole week because I was like, Caitlin does her outfits of the week, and like, this is the week I should be doing outfits of the week.
I'm vain like that. It's true.
Ugh, no, I
You're
love it.
You're cute.
I have a shopping problem, so I show off all the things that I buy. And now you can do the same thing, Brittany.
Oh, I might. We'll see.
All right, Ariana, what's your fun fact this week?
My fun fact is really fun. Season 2 of One Day at a Time dropped on Netflix yesterday, which was Friday, not yesterday for you guys, last week. And so everybody should go watch it. And there's a fun surprise at the end that Brittany pointed out. I mean, it's not like a surprise, but...
I was so excited. I got home from work and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is out." And I didn't even watch the episode. I literally just dragged it all the way to the end and I watched the credits and I was like, "Yay!" Yeah. I was so pumped. And then I'm like, "Okay, now I'll watch the episode."
Yeah. So watch the credits on this one. Push the button.
Yeah.
Because my name is all the way at the end.
Yay.
And it's great. Oh, also, I have a character named after me. Nobody, I mean, they don't say her name out loud, but if you look in the credits, it says that her name is Ariana. Oh.
See, this is why you have to watch the credits of everything.
Yeah.
You get David Boreanaz dancing and you get a lot of Ariana secrets.
Yeah. So episode, what happened? Her, the nurse's name is Ariana.
So it's one Ariana at a time.
It Yay. Is.
Awesome. That is a fun fact. Mai, can you live up to Ariana's fun fact this week?
I cannot. I don't really have any fun facts except that I might actually care about the Super Bowl this year.
Who's going?
The Brady Bunch and some Eagles.
Boo and boo.
Oh, but the Eagles have never won, right?
They have not, I don't think.
Was there a movie with the Eagles in it with Tony Danza? No.
I don't I don't personally know the
answer. I feel like I watched it as a child. Okay. Never mind.
I wouldn't know because I only care about the American football stuff when it's the Super Bowl and the Eagles are involved. So.
Oh, why do you like the Eagles, Mai?
Yes, please. Why?
Because 10 years ago when I first ventured into the internet and became friends with foreigners like yourselves, there was one American who liked the NFL and she roots for the Eagles.
Aww.
And that was the year that they went to the Super Bowl and I stayed up all night to watch it.
To watch them lose to the Patriots? Is that what you're saying?
They're going to win because they're cheaters. So,
hey, whatever gets you into the Super Bowl in another ring.
I mean, Eagles fans throw beer on people and punch police horses. So,
that's very true.
This is why I don't watch the sports at all.
I mean, the stars have to align for me to do it. So.
This is like a year that I don't like either team. And I'm like, how do I root for both of them to lose?
You can root for the ending because apparently someone's going to retire.
Dot, dot, dot.
Isn't that so, Brittany?
Oh, God, no.
Isn't it?
No, he's not. Did you watch his Facebook? No, no one watched it except me 100 times. Tom Brady has like his own little like Facebook series. It's like a 30 for 30 like they do on ESPN. And he's like in better shape right now than he was at 22.
Oh.
So he's not going anywhere.
He's going to keep cheating his way to the top for another few more years.
Yep. The first thing he shows in the video too, he's like, I keep this front and center and it's his suspension letter. And he just looks at the camera and he goes, thanks guys. It's great.
Can't deflate a hockey puck, just saying.
No, you cannot.
Let's sigh. I can't say anything because my team got knocked out. So
when's baseball coming back?
Soon-ish.
Spring training starts in a couple weeks. And I'm very ready. But my fun fact is that the last time I was on, I said I had a job interview and I got the job. The tutoring job.
Yay!
And I was expecting to, but it was official and I signed paperwork and I observed another session last week and have my first session scheduled for not next week, but the week after. But we'll see when that gets started, but I just am adding more and more things to my schedule because I'm not busy enough. All right. So that's our fun facts. And since this is not a football podcast, we will move on to Angel. We will move on to our double Angel. So starting with episode 413, Salvage. In this episode, Faith finally breaks out of prison in order to save Angel's soul, but ends up getting a serious beatdown by the Beast instead before Angelus accidentally saves the world. Meanwhile, fake Cordelia is still terrifying, annoying, and now pregnant. So, initial impressions, guys. What are we thinking? How are we feeling?
Well, I guess I should preface this episode by saying I didn't watch the episodes because my Hulu account decided to act up. And so I read the transcripts and I'm just super excited I didn't have to watch any of the Cordelia and Connor stuff. So I'm going to go back and watch it when my Hulu account decides to, like, you know, calm down and let me watch the episodes. But I am just not into her. Like, I like this whole... Yes, she's evil, kind of, I guess, or in on it type thing, because I think that that's actually a really interesting arc that they're choosing to go down. But they just need to let this Connor thing go. I don't understand why he needs to be there and involved and annoying, and we have to see it. I don't like it.
It's even worse when you watch it, Brittany.
Well, I'm not looking forward to that. I might just, like, skip, be like, like, you know, do something else while it's on. But I do.
I've just chosen to, like, completely ignore the Cordelia scenes. Like, I've compartmentalized that away because it ruins everything. So other than that, this was a fantastic episode. It was one of my favorites this season. Or maybe, I mean, I feel like if you take away the Cordelia stuff, like, it's one of the best Angel episodes with bringing Faith back and, like, her arc, to see her arc of where she started on this show to now she's the one who wants to save Angel is really cool.
Yeah, I am really happy that Faith is back. I thought that that was, I mean, it was kind of spoiled a little bit just when I was going to get lines for like the last time we watched Angel, because they have like a giant picture of Faith on the website that I get the lines from. But even knowing that she was going to be in this episode, it was great to see the conversations that happened between her and Wes, and then the same kind of conversation that happened between this will be in the next episode, but between Angelus and Faith. And I just liked what they're doing with her, as opposed to like, you know, oh, only Buffy can stop them. Like, the show's smart enough to be like, right, we got another person in wait. Like, you know, we can bring back another character and not, you know, mess up what's going on as Buffy's marching towards its end. So I'm all in on the Faith stuff. I forgot how much I like missed her, because I did kind of forget about her for a while.
She's such a strong character. Like, this entire episode, I was thinking she could be and should be like the lead of her own Buffyverse show. She's so interesting, and she can hold her own. Like, I mean, I hate to say this because I love the Pancakes, but they all do feel like sidekicks in their own way, like, which I hate to say because they're not sidekicks. I love them, but they feel like sidekicks. Like, versus her, she feels like a star or a leader.
She just comes in and barks orders, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Everything is wonderful.
So, like, I wouldn't even want her to join this show because I don't think it would work. She couldn't blend in.
Yeah, I can see her needing to be just the star of her own show. But we'll talk more about Faith in a bit. But first, we have to talk about Lila. Angelus finds Lila's body because, as we got the last episode, evil Cordelia killed her. And Angelus is disappointed, but he decides he's going to take a drink anyway, and that's where the team finds him. And he runs away, but they're worried that he has turned Lila because they don't know that Angelus is not the one that killed her. So Wesley volunteers to chop off her head, which is horrible in so many ways. But this leads to this really fascinating interplay of him trying to work up to doing it and then having these conversations with this Lila figment of his imagination, and a little more exploring of what that relationship meant to him. So how did you guys react to this, you know, getting this kind of closure on that relationship?
Obviously, I loved it because I love Lila now. In one episode, I went from hating her to loving her. And I just love their relationship. It's so weird and complicated. I just want to like unpack and explore all of Wesley's feelings because he's so messed up right now. And Lila's kind of like the embodiment of this, because on one hand, it's like she really cared about him. And on the other hand, she was evil. So
I like that. In this episode, he was kind of forced to acknowledge that it was a relationship, because I feel like this whole time he's sort of just been like, you know, brushing her off and acting too cool and trying not to make it into something. And then in this moment, he had to like acknowledge that, like, oh, yes, this was actually something, and I'm going to have to get over this, something that I didn't think I'd have to get over. And it did hit him hard to hear that Lila was dead. Like, the camera stayed on Wes during most of the reaction to that. And he's the one who volunteers to go and get rid of her because he feels like he has to, I guess. And maybe there'd be a chance that he could talk to her in real life if she came back as a vampire. And then he just cut off her head. And it was, I'm surprised he actually did it. I honestly thought for a second he was just going to let it happen. And like, if she did come back, he'd just be like, okay, go run free. There's no sun. And he didn't. So good job, Wes.
To me, it was more of like, I thought it was like a mice and men thing where, I mean, this is like a terrible metaphor, but like you shoot your own dog. Mm. So I kind of thought that's what it was. Like because he cared, like that she deserved someone who cared about her doing this.
No, I like that. I think that works.
I also thought it was really interesting how he was like arguing with her, like trying to convince himself that she could have never loved him, that she was incapable of that, because I felt like it was pretty obvious that she did love him as much as she's capable of, like, loving anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We got lots of, especially when she was, like, in the sewers watching him walk away, like, her face is so devastated by him leaving her. And there are a fair amount of hints, I think, as well. And then we find out he kept that dollar bill in his wallet. It's still there.
Aww. Gosh, Wesley. Mm. How do you guys think he felt about her?
I don't know if... I think he did... I don't know. I wouldn't say love, because I don't think Wesley knows what he feels towards anyone because of this whole Fred thing where he's like, oh yeah, I totally have been in love with her this whole time, but yeah, okay, calm down. So... Hmm. I don't even think he knows now what he feels about Lila. I think he's a processor, and it takes him a very long time to absorb informations and then spit out emotion, which is why we get all of these, like, rash decisions from Wes, like this rogue demon hunter attitude. But really, it's like, take a step back and examine what you're feeling and what you actually want to be doing, because this isn't you. So I think with Lila, it's just... he doesn't know what it is. He knows that he couldn't quit her in a sense, not just sexually, but like he kind of was always around and wanted her to be there, but he's not sure why. So I think it was admiration and maybe some love, but whatever love means for Wes, we'll never know.
I don't think that he let himself love her. I think he was always like, cautiously holding himself back.
I think she has this, and she is obviously him processing, but this really intriguing insight that he was always trying to save her, like, from herself. So it's like this sense of a hero complex in a way of trying to save her from the evil or whatever that she was. Though I don't think she was ever really evil. I think she was just focused on herself. Like she said in the last episode, she's a survivor. She does whatever it takes for Team Lila to get ahead. And I think that he forms this relationship with her in a time in his life when he is going on a similar path. And I wonder if it felt to him like if he could save her, he could redeem himself too. Mm-hmm. And in losing her, I wonder if he is partially at least thinking that there isn't as much hope for him too. If he failed her, he's gonna fail himself.
That's so wise, Caitlin.
This is why Angel is the better show. I just love these characters so much. I feel like we're getting a lot of that with like Buffy and Spike, but not as much. I don't know. I really like these characters' stories a little bit more than the Buffy ones. For the moment, who knows? In retrospect, I could come out of this whole experience saying that Buffy is amazing, but I'm not holding my breath for that moment.
Question for you guys. At some point, his Figment gets a makeover from dead Lila to a more styled Lila, and I was wondering what you think that means.
I'm not sure I noticed that. Wait, so she starts talking and she looks dead.
Yeah. Correct?
And then she turns, like, regular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first time she, like, you get the pan from, like, her to the corpse. And then when she appears again, she's not bloody anymore.
Oh. Well, he was probably trying... I mean, I did get to see this much, which was good when my watching. But I think maybe he was trying to, you know, talk to this idealized version of her. Like, that's how he wants to remember her, so that's how he's picturing her in this particular moment. Because I honestly didn't even really notice the shift when I was watching it, but does she switch back to being like dead looking when he cuts her head off, or does she...
We don't see it. We get a pan back and Wesley's body is like covering the shot. Yeah, is blocking the beheaded corpse. So we don't actually see it.
Interesting.
But she looks more corporate when she's all styled and, you know, not dead Lila.
Like Wolfram and Hart corporate?
I would say yes.
I mean, I guess that makes sense because, you know, when she would
that's
come
how
in
he
and
knows her.
Yeah, yeah, and like take mm-hmm. charge whenever they were like together, you know, that was the Lila that he was used to dealing with, not like the scared,
and like fleeing Lila that he saw in like the sewers, and you know, this dead Lila, he has his version of Lila is, you know, in charge.
Have we ever even seen her like not in a suit? Like even going to Wesley's apartment, like she was always in suits, right?
Yeah.
She was never like lounging around.
Yeah. Never a business cash.
All right. So how is Wes gonna move forward, do we think? Like, is he just gonna completely erase Lila? Is he gonna remember her fondly? What do we think?
I think he'll remember her fondly because that's what happens when people die. You mostly remember the good stuff. I think this will propel him, as we've seen, to move forward. Like, he couldn't save her, so now he's going to save Angel.
Yeah, and this, you know, vision of Lila will likely propel him to keep in mind, like, what the purpose of what they're doing is. He couldn't save her, so can he save someone else who is important to him, who is Angel, instead of just walking around being like, well, time to kill the big bad, and that appears to be Angelus right now, which is what leads him to Faith, obviously. So there's a way out of this, and that way is to get Faith. Because I think deep down, like, he does know that Faith is not going to kill Angel, so there's a way to go about this without losing someone else.
I don't know if this is too early, but I really want to talk about the decision of him to call Faith versus calling Sunnydale and calling Buffy.
This is his, I think, dynamic with being unable to protect Lila, I think, ties into part of why they go to Faith, because she was another failure for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be her watcher, and he failed her, and then him bringing the council in when Angel was getting through to her back on Buffy, like, is what really pushed her over the edge. So he, in a way, like, might be trying to make amends yet again by going to someone else that he has failed.
He has a lot to make up for, this poor guy.
And it sucks because he, like, tries so hard, mm-hmm. but he fails so much. He's so human, Wesley.
It's interesting, too, because he says he goes to Faith because he knows how much Angel means to her. So he knows that she is going to be completely unwilling to kill Angelus because she's going to do whatever it takes to rescue him after everything he did for her. Is that different from what we think Buffy would do?
Like, Buffy kill Angelus.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. That was my only thing, is that Buffy, I think this season has been a little bit different with, like, the whole Spike thing. But, like, I think at the end of the day, and I guess we did see that with Dawn too, but definitely I feel like early season Buffy, maybe pre-Dawn Buffy, the Buffy that he knows was very, like, black and white about good and evil, and would put, like, the fate of the world above everything else. Like, we saw her kill Angel before. So maybe since that's the version of Buffy he knows, he was scared of calling her.
Yeah. And also, Buffy's so far removed from Angel at this particular moment. Like, they haven't crossed paths in a while. And I think that if that relationship with Angel was sustained longer, I mean, those feelings are definitely still there. I'm not, like, trying to discount anything that Buffy feels towards Angel and vice versa. But, you know, it might be easier for her to make that maybe a little easier for her to still see it in that light. Like, it's, oh, it's cut and dry. Angelus is back. You've tried everything. I'm the last resort. And the last resort is to kill him.
And I guess that is a good point, Brittany, because as far as Wesley knows, like, their interactions of both their major interactions happened like a few years ago with both Slayers, but Buffy since then has obviously, like, been living a life, and she has, like, a whole, like, community of people that she loves around her, versus, like, Faith, she's in jail. So really, like, the last person who cared about her not in jail was Angel.
Mm-hmm. And everyone in jail is just scared of her, you know, like, it's not like she's making friends everywhere she goes. They literally have to announce that she's coming outside.
My only counter to the Buffy might be more willing to kill Angelus is that she only killed him because that portal opened, and the only thing that could close it was sending him through it. I think if he hadn't opened that portal, that would have sucked the entire world into hell.
I think the problem here is we don't know what the stakes are, because the big bad is just a voice in his head.
Yeah, I think right now he is more of a piece to the puzzle, whereas back in season two, he was the whole thing. Like, killing him was the clean solution to the problem. It closed the portal, the world was saved, and evil vampire gone. At this point, you kill him, you still got the boss figure of whoever is, you know, whatever is going on with Cordy thing going on, so it wouldn't solve anything.
Angel is a very gray show.
Yeah.
Does Wesley know about the council?
Oh,
I don't know, because nobody calls Sunnydale.
Yeah, nobody calls Giles.
Nobody talks to each other, that's for sure. But
you would think that once you heard that, like, LA was experiencing permanent darkness, that somebody would be like, hey, maybe we should call over there, make sure it's okay.
Yeah, you might think people in Sunnydale would be like, that could be the first.
Yeah. And literally, like, I just don't understand. Angel calls Sunnydale and they're just like, hey, sup? Nothing. Like, yeah. I'm just like, oh, nothing. Yeah, is this Angel? Like, not even like, dude, is LA okay? Just like, hey, buddy, how's it going?
And nobody has bothered to warn Faith that someone's coming after her, which we see in the prison.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Yes, because she almost gets killed. And clearly that's
up, Debbie.
Getting rid of the slayers.
Yes, that
people
was
people are so stupid.
So this is actually super interesting, because you have this woman in the prison attempts to kill Faith. She's using one of the blades that the bringers use to kill all the potentials. So obviously someone working for the first has tried to bribe her to kill Faith. But the actress is the same one who played the human assassin from that order several seasons ago, like that had the bug guy and stuff in it.
Oh.
So they never confirm or deny if it's the same character, but they did apprehend the human assassin woman. So I like to think it's the same person.
Why not? Who's to say?
Let's say it is.
So the first is making a move on Faith, and, you know, might have been nice for her to know that someone wanted to kill her, but good job, guys.
Communication.
Big fail. But so we see Faith, and Wesley goes to visit her because she's their best hope, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And that conversation is just, I'm sure, is someone's favorite scene, because it's amazing.
That scene was so cool. That's my biggest regret, Brittany, that you didn't get to see that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was visually spectacular.
I'm going to watch it. I'm just so mad that so frustrating, this stupid Hulu. And I like tried another show too. Like, I was like, oh, let me just like throw on an episode of Bob's Burgers and see if that works. And it did. It was like purposely working against me to not watch Angel. And that's, I even like was like tried to like count my losses. I'm like, okay, I won't watch the end of this one, I'll just start the next one. But it's like the whole series was not working.
Hulu is also mad about pregnant Cordelia.
Yeah. It's like, you don't need to see this. You don't need to see this.
Nothing to see here, folks. But yeah, so Wesley comes. Faith is kind of impressed with whatever's happened to Wesley and that he's gotten hotter, which is this funny moment. And then,
not untrue.
Yeah. And then he tells her Angelus is back, and she's like, step aside, and she breaks out, which I love this moment. For one thing, it just looks awesome when she like dives through the window and then just beats up security guards. But it also shows that she could have left at any time. So it really shows that she is earning her redemption. She's being there because she wants to be. She's paying for her crimes because she wants to. And it's just so telling about the change that has overcome her. And we see that through these two episodes a lot, that she has changed so much. And I just love this growth for Faith.
She's such a good character, and I'm kind of disappointed. Like, I mean, this was absolutely the right moment to bring her back,
but I kind of wish we just got to spend more time with her in general on either show. Like, if, you know, I would have been fine with her being a bigger part of either show.
Mm-hmm. I feel though like she fits in better with this world with her moral ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also just, okay. I love how much she loves, like, how much Angel means to her. I think there's a lot of affection there. I want to see more of them together, like, as BFFs, basically.
Siblings.
Yeah, that's how, very much how I see
it. Yes, she does. I feel like she gives them very much, like, a protective big brother vibe.
Protective little sister.
Yeah. She is so little.
I love her a lot.
So great. And Wesley gives her the rundown of what's going on. And she's like, WTF.
Just like us.
I love, like, whenever either a new character or a character who hasn't been around a while or someone just needs to be caught up on something and it forces another character to, like, I hate exposition so much, but in a show like this, I love exposition because I just want them to really say out loud and focus on what is actually happening and what they've been doing. And having Wes, like, kind of give, like, a Cliff Notes version of what's going on, it's like, what is wrong with you people? Like, it finally starts to, like, sink in of all the mistakes and, like, weird paths that these characters have gone down, which we've been living in. But sometimes it's nice to just take that moment, step back, and get someone who's, like, a completely clean slate to, like, catch them up. And, oh, what a great, great moment.
And I love that she pointed out how stupid it was to bring back Angelus when they are already, like, having a crisis.
She literally said what I said, which was, like, it's gas to the flame.
Yes.
I was like, thank you. so good. I love it. And it's not even, like, Faith is not used to this kind of world. So when someone who is knowledgeable about how crazy and strange the world can be thinks things are messed up, like, you know, it's really messed up.
Yeah, I feel like she was more surprised by, like, their stupidity than anything else. Mm-hmm. That's really what got her.
They need her leadership, because when she walks into the Hyperion, she
gets
just
them in line.
Yeah, they're all, she's very impressive, and she just starts giving orders.
Someone, I feel like Gunn really liked that.
Oh yeah. And Connor eventually does, which...
Oh, Connor, no, gross, stop, ew. Oh, Brittany, this is something you should be glad you didn't have to see.
Yes.
Connor, like, slobbering over her.
But yes.
How can he be so creepy, you guys? Like, his smile, just, like, looking at her. Like, he's so disgusting. Ugh.
Because he's the destroyer.
Yeah.
Oh, everything is terrible.
Wait, let me make sure. Yes, nobody said this when he's like, you haven't seen what I can do. And she's like, let's not.
Sit down, Beetle Boy.
So good. So Faith comes in and just sets things in motion. Like, we're going to rescue him. Connor's like, yeah, no. And Faith is like, sit down, little boy. I'm in charge now. And they go on their mission. And there's this great scene where Connor is tracking Angelus because he's being the bloodhound for Faith, which is a great line she has. And then a vampire jumps out. He immediately decapitates it. And Faith is like, you thought that was Angelus. You're gone. And he's like, make me. So she does. Doesn't break a sweat and just owns him. And it's amazing.
And Gunn really likes that.
Gunn really likes that. But Connor kind of liked it too. And nothing is good about that. Connor gets sent back to the hotel. Gunn goes with, which leaves Faith and Wesley to track Angelus. Meanwhile, Angelus is off doing his Angelus things, which... Again, Brittany, makes me sad you didn't get to watch it, because Angelus is just his delightful self.
Oh, he's so wonderful. Guys, I'm so glad he's still around. I know, I feel like it's going to come to an end soon now that Faith's here, but
I'm just really, well, I want to take a moment to say I'm happy for the time we've had together, and I will miss him very much when he is gone, if he goes away, because I'm pretty sure season 5 is not rebranded as Angelus with Spike hanging out. So, although, oh, could you imagine if it was like Spike and Angelus teaming up again?
There can only be one vampire with a soul at a time.
Exactly. The universe must be balanced.
So we get some interactions with Angelus and the Beast. And we also have Cordelia making out with the Beast at one point.
Ew. Whatever is like possessing her body is disgusting. And she would never stand for this.
I did get to see that. That was
gross. Of all the things.
She's going to be so angry.
Give mama some sugar.
Oh, God. Great. She's having sex with teenagers, with the Beast. She's going to be pissed.
Ugh, everything's terrible. And we have a question here. Is her baby the Beast? Wouldn't that be lovely?
Oh, God.
I don't even want to think about it.
Well, he is rock solid.
But I'm ching. So while Angelus is out and about and, you know, all the demons in town are just thrilled that Angelus is back and he gets a standing ovation at a demon bar, which is kind of amazing. He hears some demons talking about that the Slayer is in town, and he's like, interesting. So he calls Sunnydale and he gets Dawn and asks if Buffy's there, and she is. So he's like, it's the other one.
Ugh, that phone call. So great. So smart.
So I would just like to point out the plot hole that if Angel and Angelus have two different minds, which is what basically they say needed to happen for that, for the Beast to be erased from Angel, but not Angelus, then how does Angelus know about Dawn? Because Angelus would have been dormant while then the spell creating Dawn was.
Ah, but remember, he has access to Angel's mind because Dawn is in the science.
I'm like in awe of your revelation. And I was like, no, let me shut this down real quick.
But it goes both ways. So Angel should have access to Angelus.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. I hate
it. I hate it so much.
Literally nothing makes sense.
It's like Drew Carey made it up.
Everything's made up and the points don't matter. Mm-hmm. So again, calling bullshit on the explanation for the Beast thing. So,
yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah, it is dumb. So just throwing that out there. So there's this great moment when Faith and Wesley are looking for Angelus, and Angelus has left this giant banner.
Yes.
That says, welcome, Faith.
Carpet fiber.
Yeah. Just talking about like all the ways to track and it's like tiny little things. And there's this giant banner. A carpet fiber. It's amazing.
So many funny moments in this episode.
Angelus is so delightful. Brittany, you're absolutely right to love Angelus the way you do.
God, I just would like
He's to really know. Like a hero of this episode too. So I feel like in this episode we can totally guilt-free right. root for him.
It's true, because he lures Faith into the Beast's lair and basically wants to have the Beast soften her up. So Faith gets brutalized by the Beast, like hardcore. It just, the Beast just beats the crap out of her. And it's hard to watch how much she gets her ass kicked by this thing. But Angelus, being the opportunist that he is and not one who ever wants to take orders, takes that knife that the Beast created of his own bone and stabs him with it, because the only thing that could kill the indestructible is part of the indestructible.
He got boned.
Angelus bones the Beast and kills him, and the sun comes back out. And Angelus is like, well, crap. So
why did he kill him? Just because he was annoyed by him?
Probably.
Kind of seems that way. And it was just a complication. But in a way, you know, their whole thought was the only way to get rid of the beast was to bring Angelus back. So in a twisted way,
it worked.
It actually worked because Angelus killed the beast.
A dumb idea that worked.
Not quite how they planned. So Angelus kills the beast. Were you guys surprised when he stepped in and just stabs him in the back?
Yeah. I was like, well, this plot was quickly foiled. Like, so much for being the big bad. But yeah, I mean, I guess this means that Angelus will get to be the big bad for a little while, which is nice because he's much more interesting than the beast.
Yeah, not that I was surprised that he killed him, because I kind of thought that that was what he would do. It just seemed right for him to do that, but I was more frustrated with the aftermath of everyone being like, oh, faith, faith, faith. And I'm like, no, your buddy, Angelus, the guy you brought back, he did one good thing for you.
Yeah, he won't sign any autographs, but he'll kill the beast.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Angelus. So Faith breaks a window and puts herself in the sunlight because she's too beat up to try and fight Angelus at this point. So Angelus leaves, and then Connor at the hotel runs up to be like, Cordelia, isn't this amazing? Ugh. And Cordelia...
No.
I would just like to say that I think she whips this out now because she's seeing that Connor is, like, super into Faith.
Yeah.
Like, if that had not happened, I imagine she probably would have hit it a bit longer. But this is her trump card because he is into Faith. And guess what? I'm Preggers and you're the dad.
Ew. Just doesn't make me feel right.
So wrong.
Everything is terrible. And Connor is like, holy shit.
He was a baby last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They slept in the bed.
Oh, now she'll have a new baby in the bed.
Everything is terrible.
Just a teenage dirtbag.
So it seems like everything is great and wonderful because the sun is back, but actually everything is terrible.
And everything hurts.
Yeah, or more like makes me nauseous. That's kind of where I am with that. But everything else, like the Lila and Wesley stuff and the Faith stuff, was all wonderful if we ignore this. So our international titles for this episode in German translates to Light in the Darkness, and the French translates to Faith's Return. That one's just pretty straightforward.
I think the French one more literally is like the return of faith, which mm-hmm. I kind of like because it's like in French, it doesn't mean anything because faith obviously doesn't mean faith in French, but like in English, that's cool. The return of faith. She's bringing back their faith that they mm-hmm. can restore Angel's soul.
And I like that.
They're all feeling the faith in faith at the end of the episode, not knowing what has happened to her.
A weakness for slayers.
You are clearly his son. Oh dear. Shall I move on to favorite scenes and favorite lines?
Yes, please.
All right. My favorite scene was Faith's repeated owning of Connor.
Both yes.
Verbally yes. At the hotel, and then when she bests him in a fight without breaking his sweat.
Yes. Like,
not even much effort needed. She just kicks his ass, and everything is delightful when Faith is putting Connor in his place.
When anyone is putting like, Connor in his yeah. place.
He's like, I'm the destroyer. She's like, go home.
Go sit in a corner. Your favorite scene.
When Faith arrives and bosses them around, and bosses Connor around because don't like that kid.
And he's particularly annoying in these two episodes because he's bitching about using magic.
Oh my god. Yeah. So annoying. Just like, he's like, magic sucks. This is where my episode like crapped out and I was like, okay, it's fine. Connor's being so super annoying. And it kept like reloading to the same part where he's just like, it's not going to work. Why do you always resort to magic? And I'm like, shut up.
And it's so clear that the writers know that he's annoying. Like, why would you ever write someone like that? There's no benefit to having the entire audience hating them. I can't.
My only thought is that they might be trying to isolate him a bit from the rest of the group to kind of find ways to push him towards Cordelia.
But I think there's definitely different ways to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I agree. I'm not saying they're doing it well, just that they might be trying to do that. It's really obnoxious. And it's like, Connor, not everyone is the child of two vampires and has magic powers that they can use. Like, you got to use what you have. So, yeah, that's one thing you did get to miss out on, Brittany.
Later today.
It's pretty consistently annoying through both episodes. Ariana, your favorite scene?
Mine was definitely when Faith breaks out of prison.
Yes.
It's so cool. I love, she sees Wesley and she's like, hey, Wesley, you're hot now. And like, as soon as she hears Angelus is back, like, she doesn't want to leave, but when she hears Angelus is back, she's like, all right. And she's like, without a second thought. And she makes it look so easy. And when she's like tumbling out of the second window and she like breaks Wesley's fall with that car. Oh, the whole thing is so cool.
Like a boss.
It's true. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And Brittany, your favorite scene?
Mine was, I put Angel here. How dare I? Angelus calling Dawn to see if Buffy is home. I just thought that was like so clever. Just like, there's such an easy solution to some things. And this would have been probably a question that I would have immediately been like, well, why didn't they just go get Buffy? I would have asked this question. So for them to tie up this loose end, I thought was just really clever.
Yet another way in which Angelus is smarter than
Angel. Yeah, he's just like, oh, I can figure it. I know how to see if it's Buffy or Faith.
I can solve this problem in less than 30 seconds.
Yes, this is why cell phones are invented.
Maybe we could have solved our other problems by doing the same thing. But
I forgot to ask when we talked about this during the main discussion, but I felt like David played it as he was a bit disappointed that it wasn't Buffy in town.
Oh, maybe. Because, I mean, Angelus like, probably would have wanted.
Oh, it's the other one.
Yeah, I thought
Angelus
so,
Angelus probably would have wanted to see Buffy.
But it was really subtle, and I loved it.
She's probably more fun to torture for him.
Yeah.
Well, that and Angelus has never met Faith.
That's so true. Mm.
So Angelus has met and tortured Buffy, and he knows how Angel is obsessed with Buffy. So maybe causing Angel a little less pain if it's Faith that he's going after. But yes, I agree.
Meeting new people.
It's true. But Angelus doesn't have friends. He doesn't play well with others. All right, let's move on to favorite lines. Mine was when they're on their salvage mission and Connor says, so, vampire slayers, I was told about them. How come you're always girls? And Faith says, I don't know. Better at it, I guess. Just like, I love it. Just, I like it. I like that explanation the best.
Doesn't hesitate.
I love her. Okay. And my.
I have two, both from Faith. First is step away from the glass, which is epic. And then there's, it's like riding a biker.
Yes.
I was going to take that one and then you'd already put it in. Yeah. It's a good one. And Wesley's face. So good. Ariana.
Mine was after Faith jumps out of the window, sending them several stories down and landing them on a car. And she gets up and she tells Wesley, you okay? And he goes, 5x5.
Amazing. And Brittany.
Mine is Faith and Wesley catching up in the car, like we were talking about earlier. And she just says, can I just ask, what the hell are you people doing? And Wesley is just like, leading complicated lives, obviously.
Obviously.
So good.
Favorite Faith lines.
Yeah, basically. Faith is a star. And continues to be so in our next episode, 414, Release. And in this episode, Demon Cordelia is communicating with Angelus telepathically. And even though she's super preggers with her demon spawn, no one knows because her friends are real dumb. Meanwhile, Wesley is beating up junkies because she doesn't have her head in the game. Because Faith doesn't have her head. Yeah.
Sorry.
Doesn't have her head in the game, but also because He's still butthurt about how Faith totally tortured him that one time. It's true.
It was one time, Wesley.
Jeez, get it together. So Ariana brings up a great point. This is our first episode that Andy Hallett, aka Lorne, is among the main cast in the credits.
Oh, it's about damn time.
He's been around longer than Fred.
Yeah.
And way longer than Connor.
And is way more useful than Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoyable than Connor. So, yay, Lorne. So the episode opens with Wesley bringing the battered Faith back to his place. And he's, you know, concerned about her. And she's just like, I just need a shower. And I really like this scene. Like, she's clearly struggling with everything that's happened. And then she, like, punches holes in the shower wall, which Wes later is like, I think my security deposit is gone. But, you know, it's all right. So how are we feeling about Faith at this point? And what are we thinking about where she is, her mindset is at this point?
Well, since she hasn't met Angelus before, just seeing her first time kind of seeing, because when you see Angelus, you're seeing Angel, you know, like they're obviously the same physical appearance. So, you know, it's probably she's not in a great place, obviously, as we saw how that shower went. But, you know, she's seeing this person who she wants to save and help, and she's seeing him treat her like this. And it's not that person, and it's going to be really hard to get to a place where she can fight back and also, like, do what needs to be done, whether that's causing him physical harm in addition to, like, figuring out a way to get his soul back. And, but she's right now, when she first sees him, she's seeing her friend. And so she's got a lot of decompressing to do and realize, like, what the situation actually is based on how Wes described it, and also just, like, what is in store for her going forward, because everyone's sort of tapped out at this point and it's on her, and she's coming back and she's technically free from prison, but she's kind of still living in her own mental prison. And I think she's at a point in the beginning of this episode where she's not sure if she can do what needs to be done and still feel like she's doing the right thing or helping herself or helping enough people to deserve being out.
I also think it's really interesting because she's used to being the person who's causing the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's found that it's a lot harder to be the good guy on the other side, like trying to stop all the bad shit from happening.
I'm sure it doesn't help that the last time she got the crap kicked out of her, she fell into a coma.
Yeah, also that.
So there's a lot going on, but one of the more brutal things about that shower, I think, is you see all the, like, the blood coming off of her and, like, the massive bruises all over her. And we know that slayers are hard to injure, like, to bruise and to make bleed. And the fact that she was that brutalized is just intense. So Faith is recovering at Wesley's, and our evil Cordelia, whatever's going on with her, is pregnant and communicating with Angelus in, like, this really deep male voice, and no one else can hear it. And so he looks like he's talking to no one, which, I don't know, kind of reminds me of how it looks like when people talk to the first, just throwing out there.
And she's using a talisman.
There's always a talisman. And she wants him to work for her. And he's like, yeah, pass. Basically. So we figure out that she's the one that purposely manipulated everyone into getting rid of Angel's soul, which we all kind of figured when we realized she was evil, but she reveals that purposefully. And Angelus is like, I need to figure out who this person is that was ordering the beast around. So he goes back to the hotel, and my God, he is so smart. Like, can we just talk about how smart he is? He has this fake talisman to pretend that he's immune to the sanctuary spell. And he threatens Fred and steals all the material they had on whoever the boss of the Beast was. And Fred does not react well. So what did we think of this sequence of Angelus at the hotel?
I mean, Angelus is sort of also realizing that he's running out of options because he's not able to catch on to what the actual overarching problem is here, like what he's against, what they're against, why he is being called back. He doesn't understand, and he doesn't have a team, so he has to sort of like figure it out. And I really liked that he is smart enough to go to the hotel and be like, oh, they're clearly working on something with books and crap, which I guess I would do if I was Angel. So I'll go back. I'll steal everything. And, you know, he's smart enough to get in there when it's just Fred, who is still very afraid of Angelus. And, you know, she isn't as quick to think on her feet as, well, I guess none of them would be, to be completely honest. Maybe Cordelia, because she's been there. But, you know, he's able to have the upper hand, and he plays that upper hand really well into his advantage. So I liked everything about him going in, getting the books, and, like, you know, using them even as, like, self-defense against, like, the tranquilizers. And he does, like, get a little bit of a run for his money when the rest of the gang starts to show up and he's outnumbered. But I think it was just, I like his interactions with people alone, because it just shows you, again, why Angelus is the best. It's because he's so good at getting inside people's heads and catching them off guard and just finding the slightest loophole or, like, you know, thing that they forgot about or can't do. So cool. And I loved the when Connor came after him and, like, got pushed back and he's like, huh, interesting, and then just leaves.
And it's, let's not ignore that how satisfying it is to see Connor flung yes. over the balcony.
Oh, do it again.
But yeah, so apparently Connor not quite as human as expected. Interesting.
I feel like this is like the narrative that you see all the time where, like, the Nazi finds out that he's, like, not, or, like, the pure blood, like Voldemort, like, I'm not a pure blood.
Yeah. Did you think, Connor?
You are the spawn of two vampires, yeah. And you have superpowers.
Hello.
And you're, like, you were able to survive a hell dimension. What do you think?
As a baby, yeah. As an infant.
And cue the existential crisis.
I did think that one sequence where he's, like, looking for teeth was kind of funny.
Briefly, I just wanted to mention, because Brittany brought up real Cordelia, who I miss all the time, but that she single-handedly outsmarted Angelus once in the first season with her fake water, her fake holy water. So she was quick to think on her feet. Mm-hmm. Good for her. But she's gone now. Let's move on to real Cordelia.
Mourning the loss of real Cordelia forever. So we get the sequence where when Angelus is fleeing, Faith and Wesley are coming in, and Angelus takes Wesley as a hostage, and Faith pretty much freezes, which Wes is not happy about. So again, how is Faith, is she going to be useful at this point?
Wesley's being an asshole.
Something new and different.
I have to say, I don't blame Wesley in this situation, because I think that he, like, I genuinely think he wants to save Angel, and he knows that the only way to do that is to be really tough on Angelus, and the only way to do that with Angelus is to know that if necessary, you will kill him. And also, I also don't blame him for having, like, major PTSD from that time that Faith totally tortured him, like, horrifically, slowly, for hours. So I get both sides of his brain. He's trying to, like, he's real messed up right now.
I agree.
Wesley's been a bit messed up, weird, dark before, so I don't feel like you can blame it on the torture.
I think in this situation, I mean, I don't see how it could not be coming up. Like, seeing Faith has to be scary for him. Like, in the same way that, like, you know, like, Giles didn't really want to see Angel, or, well, you know, things like that. Even if you, like, know it's not like she's changed now. There's a difference between knowing that and feeling the fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but I just mean that. Well, back on Buffy, he was willing to sacrifice Willow when she was taken hostage by the mayor, and he was kind of shady on Pylea. So it's not like it's a brand new character trait.
No, no, I definitely think he's been shady all like. He's always had, like, a darkness to him. I'm just saying yeah. The reason that he's acting this way towards
fate. I agree with that. It's just a bit hard to watch. Because he's so super dark and he plays it so well.
We have this Fred feeling helpless plotline. How do we feel about this one?
Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of my reaction, too.
Someone else can go first because I feel like I've been saying the same thing. Every time.
I'm sick of her being a damsel. I'll just...
Yeah.
I just don't see what it does for her, because she's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And it just... Like, it feels like we're, like, back... Like, taking... I think I've said this before, too. Like, it just feels like we're taking away from her character. I don't understand why we're doing that still at this point. We should be adding to her character and seeing advances, and they just keep taking certain hits on... certain characters, and she's one of them where it's like, oh, well, now we're back. And they were doing this on Buffy too, and I don't know if it's like something was in the water or what, but like, I think that's where this is familiar from. I was saying it in regards to Buffy a few weeks ago with Willow and Xander, and they're like highlighting the worst parts of their characters that are just like making them more caricatures of like their season one personas in season seven, which I don't think is necessary. And but this is just doing nothing for her character, because we never like we saw her like this for a little bit, like when her parents showed up and she was like, you know, scared and whatnot, but like we keep coming back to, she like survived all those years in another dimension, and she's really super smart and confident and knows what she wants and what she doesn't want, except maybe in love, which is fine, no one really has that figured out. So I don't understand why we have to keep going back and seeing Fred as like, oh, help me. I was so ignorant and dumb, and making her feel bad about not recognizing that Angelus, the literal smartest demon around, outsmarted her. Like, that's fine.
Like, she's not a fighter, so there's every reason for her to be terrified in that moment. And I think it's to her credit that she notices, like, the Made in China thing on the... charm that he had.
She like, realized it really before smart. He left. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then as soon as she realizes it, she starts like trying to shoot the trank gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that's useless at all. Like, no one's expecting her to try and get into a hand-to-hand fight with him.
I understand where she's coming from, because I think like any of them would feel that way. I had him and I let him go, like, but I just wish because of her arc this season, where she's just been like relegated as the damsel everyone's fighting over and just like totally sidelined, I wish that her regret was rooted more in like anger at herself rather than like pity, like, oh, I'm so useless. I wish it was more like, how could I do that? Like, I've survived so much, and I had the bad guy in my grasp, and I let him go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with that. Let's just stick with Fred for a second and talk that she and Gunn share a kiss. But I think this is kind of another parallel between Buffy and Angel. It reminds me a bit of the Anya and Xander hookup.
Oh, that there's
kind of this realization that we still love each other, but there doesn't really seem to be a future here.
Yeah.
But why? Why? I didn't get it there, and I don't get it here.
Because we can't have nice things.
Just not sure what I'm supposed to care about with these people. I'm like, am I supposed to like Gunn and Fred again? Like, is there something there? Is Gunn over it? Is Fred over it? Who likes who and why and how long? And the like relationship part of the series is like a hot stinking mess. And I mean, that's fine. I don't mind it being messy. It's like the fact that it just doesn't make any sense. Like there's, I don't know.
Well, at least they're not sleeping with Connor.
That's so true. Everyone could be doing worse.
Except Connor and Cordelia.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on from that, Cordelia, quote unquote, Cordelia finally convinces Angelus to work for her because she reveals she has his soul, and that if he doesn't do what she wants him to do, she's going to return the soul. And there's this really great sequence, and it's probably Brittany's favorite scene, where she talks about how that is like the worst torture imaginable for him, that being stuck in Angel's mind, basically, and unable to do anything. So I'm just going to turn that over to Brittany because I'm sure she has feelings.
I do. I thought that that was just so great. Like, just it made me really think about it. And I'm like, that is the worst thing possible, because Angel doesn't care. Angelus doesn't care about like lives or, you know, ruling over. He likes having like power and being able to manipulate people and being even if he is put back inside Angel, there's always that little bit of Angelus that could make Angel's mind slip or lose power, or, you know, like, just he's always right there. And to make him believe that that whatever this being is has the power to bury him so deeply that he couldn't even do that. Oh, I just thought that was so brilliant. Like, that is the worst thing imaginable for him. And oh, I loved it. I loved it so much. I thought that was so clever and true and just perfect. It's just perfect. I loved it. Obviously, it's my favorite scene.
Of course. So what do we think about Angel working for quote unquote Cordelia at this point? How do we think that's going to turn out?
Well, I can guarantee we'll be frustrated for a few more weeks until it's resolved.
I still can't help but think of when he was like master, and it reminded me of back when Xander was under Dracula's control and he was like master Bader. So when he said that, I was just like, Bader. Yeah. And that's just me being 12, but there it is.
I just felt like this all seemed unrealistic to me, that Angelus would really be so afraid. I don't know. I don't know why he believes the thing so wholly, and I don't know. I wanted to be smarter. It didn't make me happy that he called the thing master. He hasn't even seen it.
Yeah, that's something that's bothering me a little bit too, is that he is taking stock in something that's completely imaginary. And like, sure, this thing like had the beast and, you know, was able to block out the sun. That's pretty powerful. But at the same time, it's like, if he can't fight it and it's in his head, I guess, I don't know. There's nothing tangible about it. So that could be frustrating. Maybe I wouldn't buy that he's afraid, but maybe just frustrated and is giving in to like advance the cause. But it didn't really, obviously for me, I just read it. So,
It did show the illusion of Angel's soul,
which yeah,
was meant yeah, to be yeah. the evidence because that he couldn't touch it,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, it looked like the soul in the container. He goes for it, and his hands go through it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think I feel like he should be a little bit more of a doubting Thomas here. Like, until he sees the master with the soul holding it in his hands, I really feel like he should be more like mind over matter in this thing. I don't understand why he's so, like, I understand why he would be afraid to get his soul back, but I just want him to be better than this. Why is he so lame? Now he's just as lame as the beast.
Maybe he's really sick of those migraines that he gets when it talks to him.
Because right now, Cordelia is not a scary villain. She's just an annoying one.
Yeah, she is really annoying. She's not scary. Like, she's exactly. She's not scary yet. Like, oh, was the Lila thing supposed to scare us? Because it didn't really. It obviously showed us what she's capable of and that she's not on our side. But when has she really been on our side this season? It doesn't feel like she's there. It's just frustrating more than anything.
I mean, blotting out the sun is pretty impressive.
Yeah, but it's not like she did that. The beast did that. And also, it wasn't that hard because he's strong. He just like killed some things. It wasn't like this. I don't know. I just feel like that was a thing she did. It's not like scary. Like, scary villains, like Angelus is a scary villain. They have to like the Hello Faith or Welcome Faith thing. That is scary. because it's like a total like mind. I'm trying to not say a bad word.
Fudge.
Yeah, but like this whole like Cordelia sitting in her room with an orb. That's not. That shouldn't be scary to anyone.
Being super pregnant.
Yeah, evil Willow is scary. Like. Like, if they are following, like, a similar path, like how your best friend is now the villain, they've really done a terrible job with Cordelia versus they did with, like, Willow.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag no comment. Well, we'll see where that goes. But meanwhile, Faith and Wesley are out trying to track Angelus down, and they go through demon bars, and they find where Angelus had been, and find this back room where vampires feed on humans who have been taking drugs, which is very much a callback to Riley, which I know everyone loves callbacks to Riley.
Oh, the best.
Everyone's favorite white bread. And we see this is a really interesting sequence because Faith is completely willing to beat up demons and be violent towards demons to get information. But when there's this girl who was a junkie and had been fed on, she like hits her once and says she doesn't know anything. Wesley then stabs her. And Faith is like,
all right.
Faith is like, holy crap. And Wes is like, what? No big deal. So this is a big shift between the two of them.
Wesley's under a lot of stress these days.
Wes is so super stressed. Like, I do feel bad for him, but also he, like, has no idea how to act. And
I feel like he's coming off of the thing, like, it really hit me, like, his mindset when they had Angelus in the courtyard. Faith just had to, like, get him. And she wouldn't because she was scared. I think in that moment, like, Wesley was serious. He was like, look, I might die either way. You need to do this right now. Because if you let him go, a bunch of people are going to die. And now he feels like, hey, because you were scared, because we are all scared and stupid, now a bunch of people are dying. So I think he is very, like, in the ends justify the means right now. Like, no, because this girl is lying. We're not going to find him. No, we are.
For me, more than anything, is this shows how much these two characters have changed. Because Faith from a couple years ago would not have hesitated to do what Wesley was doing. And now she's horrified by it. Mm-hmm. And then we get the whole part where they confront each other. And this is actually my favorite scene, where Wesley just throws every horrible thing like in her face that she's done. And trying to provoke her to kind of tap into the old Faith. And you can see on her face, like, how horrified she is, which again goes to show how much she has changed. She's like, that is not me anymore. And he just pushes and pushes and pushes every button he knows is going to provoke her. And then when she finally does shove him and act like she's going to hit him, he's like, that's what you need to fight Angelus. And she's like, no, which is just this amazing to me shift and how much they have changed. Faith is not willing to go that route anymore.
I don't know exactly how to put this, but this is another point in a long line of scenes where Wesley is hard to watch in a scene with a woman.
Yeah, that is true. Which again, I said back when we watched Billy that we should keep an eye on Wesley. And I remember Ariana being like, no, that's not Wesley. And I was like, no comment.
It still can't be Wesley. No. Oh, gosh. I'm those people on Twitter defending horrible men now because I like their shows. Ugh. No, this makes me so sad. I mean, you guys are right. Like, Wesley is terrible to women.
Like, that's a great point that Maya brought up, is like, they keep putting him in these scenes where he's trying to be like the great motivator and like push people, but it just makes him so much worse. Like, watching him, because it is always against like a woman, and he's never, it feels like they don't think through anything that they're doing to him, and he just feels this superiority over people, and it's
not great to witness, and it's always with like Lila or Faith Fred. And Fred, or exactly.
Yeah. Or the woman in the closet.
Or the woman in the closet that he kept for a while with a bucket. That's
or
fine.
The girl he just stabbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and now it's Faith. Not great, Bob.
But I think he really wants to be good. I think he tries.
Road to hell.
I can't defend this. I don't want to be one of those people. I still love him. I'll love him quietly.
I think what I find super interesting about seeing Wesley and Faith in these sequences where they're pretty in sync with each other until this final thing with the junkies. But up until that point, they seemed kind of like, well, they were in the bars and stuff. And it was like the first time that Wesley was working with Faith, like watcher and slayer. Like he has finally been through things in his life that makes him able to understand her in a way he couldn't when he met her in Buffy season 3.
Mm-hmm. But he still can.
It's true.
Okay, but I just have to say one thing. This scene didn't really bother me, again, because him yelling at Faith is much less worse than her torturing him slowly for hours on end. So I feel like she deserved to get yelled at for that once. I feel like he's earned that. And also the woman in the closet, she tried to kill him. So, I mean, that what he did was really terrible to her. But at least those were both payback.
And Justine was the only one who knew where Angel was under the ocean.
Yeah. And also this was like to, quote, help her. Not really. I really feel it was because he was angry about the torture. At least he can justify to himself the motivations. How he treated Lila and Fred, those have no justification.
Yeah.
I also think it's really interesting if you think about the scene in the last episode when his figment conversation with Lila, with the whole redemption and salvage thing, how he feels about himself. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I just think it's interesting.
Wesley's a messy character.
Yeah, oh, Wesley. He just needs like a hug from Cordelia. That's what he needs. He needs his BFF back.
But not the current
sense
one.
Into him. No. Season 3 pre-Gru coming in.
So we end up with this really awesome fight sequence between Faith and Angelus through like this like construction, like the bars and the, I don't even know the words I'm looking for at this point, but it, like all the equipment, and it's super cool. And you get all these awesome shots of like them jumping really long distances and stuff. And I really loved it, but we get the Faith is still healing. And so she's not completely up to snuff. And we know now that she's holding back a bit because she's not willing to go all the way. Wesley is trying to get her to be willing to kill Angelus if she needs to. She needs to be able to fight that much all out. And she is not. So she is, I guess in a way we can assume she's holding back a little bit because she wants to salvage Angel at this point. And Angelus, on the other hand, is going all out. And Faith gets her butt kicked and we get this confrontation where he even has a gun on her and gets her to admit that she does not want to die. Like that sequence where he's like pulling the triggers and the blanks are coming out was super horrifying because you see like Faith is flinching each time he pulls the trigger and nothing comes out. I was just, that's Angelus right there. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like this sequence is so perfectly encapsulates what makes him a good villain. So Brittany, I can't wait for you to watch it. But he calls back to her begging Angel to kill her. And she says that she doesn't want to die anymore. And then they keep fighting until we get to the point that it looks like Faith has won. And then he knocks her feet out from under her and he bites her. And then we fade to black, which that's a terrible cliffhanger.
Dun, dun, dun.
But at least we're watching an Angel episode next week, so that helps.
So we can find out what happened. Thoughts on this big fight sequence between Angelus and Faith? Like, it really is a massive all-out fight.
It's awesome.
I have to watch it.
Yes, you really do. I expect some tweets.
I will.
Yeah, you should live tweet.
What about you, Ariana?
I enjoyed it.
It was good. That is our hard-hitting analysis of the sequel.
Honestly, I watched this like 2 weeks ago, like literally the day that we recorded the other episode. So I don't really remember the details of this sequence. I do remember the Blanks thing and how she kept shooting his leg and he was like, oh, you're not going for a kill shot, even though like a gun wouldn't kill him.
I gotta say, I appreciate how they kept utilizing his super jump ability.
Mm-hmm.
Because we never see that anymore. The super vampire jumpy, almost flying thing.
Yeah, I think they were tapping into a lot of it in these two episodes. Like when he jumps off the balconies and like, you know.
Spike never does it.
No, Spike's he's afraid he'll rip his jacket or something.
Angelus is also super dramatic.
Yeah.
He likes to do the most dramatic things.
That's why he loved the ballet so much.
That's true.
And I was evil. Like, this is the guy who was crying.
It's amazing.
I love that.
But yeah, so terrible cliffhanger that Faith is getting bitten by Angel. He clearly is intending to turn her into a vampire. Which, can you imagine Faith as a vampire?
Oh, geez. She'd be so good at it. Would she still have, like, her special Slayer strength or whatever?
My God, like...
What happens if you turn a Slayer into a vampire? I feel like that should have been addressed at some point.
Comics.
Also, like, why did Spike... Was he always, like, killing the Slayers? I feel like he should have tried to turn them. That would be way better.
Yeah. Wow, yes.
Then he could have been like, do you know how many Slayers I've turned?
That would have been cool. But now we got
it. Was anyone on the Buffy episode last week? I haven't listened to that podcast yet.
I wasn't.
No.
I had some issues.
That's the other gang.
Yeah.
Oh, those guys.
I haven't talked to them in months now.
Aw.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been on with Karen for,
That's just forever. You guys. Oh, I'm so tired of you.
Sorry.
We're our own little pancake gang now.
The B team.
As long as I'm just on the Angel episodes, everything's fine.
Team Angel all the way.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. So our international titles for this episode in German was Old Enemies and the French was Release. That was the same as the English title. I wonder what you guys think the references to with Release.
I was going to ask that.
Because Salvage, I get, like they're trying, it's a salvage mission to rescue Angel.
Faith says that.
Yeah, but I wasn't totally getting Release.
Isn't, I was thinking it's Wesley trying to release Faith, the full Slayer business or
something.
Didn't
he say something about that in the last episode in the car ride?
Release the Kraken.
Use the word release because I was like, I feel like that's not the best word for the situation.
Premature release.
Oh god.
Release is like one of those words like penetrate where I'm like, I don't always feel like it's necessary.
Like I was watching Runaways and Victor Stein says it was only him, his imagination and his hands, and I was like, maybe not.
Speaking of Spike, there's Runaways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was talking about inventing things.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I wasn't totally sold on Release as an episode title. I can usually justify the titles, but this one I wasn't entirely clear.
Well, I'm sure we'll get tweets about it, so.
Oh, maybe it's my favorite scene, the shower scene. Like, releasing
release
emotions.
Release the water?
Releasing emotions.
That makes more sense.
Making punchy emotions. And
or releasing Wesley's dark side, because he stabbed that girl, which is definitely not the worst thing he's done on this show.
It was not stealing a baby. It's
I keep wanting to say release the Kraken.
All right. Well, if you guys have theories for what Release is referring to in this episode, shoot
keep them
us
PG.
Tweets. Yes. Please. All right. Shall we move on to favorite scenes and favorite lines?
Yes.
So my favorite scene, as I mentioned earlier, was Wes provoking Faith. I just really loved the way, like, the horror on her face just really, just again, shows how much she has changed. And I'm just kind of obsessed with this wonderful character arc that they are giving her. So I really enjoyed that. My.
I just said the shower scene, but yeah, I really love her acting in that.
That's a good one. Ariana.
My favorite scene was Fred and Gunn's heart to heart, because for a minute I was like, yes, you beautiful fools, just make up. And apparently, like, no one else thinks they're going to make up, but, like, I had a glimmer of hope. It's pretty much extinguished now. But I liked that, like, what I really liked is that we kind of, I feel like, got a better glimpse, because Fred has been really confusing, probably because she's been written so poorly this season. But in terms of how she actually has felt since the whole debacle went down with the professor and everything. And she was very, like, I think she made it very clear that she loves Gunn and she doesn't love Wes. And she's just, like, in a very, they're both in a terrible place right now. Like, they're both confused and hurt. And it's just, it sucks. I just want everybody to make up and be happy.
Oh, sad. And Brittany.
Mine we already talked about, which is Angelus being threatened by the worst thing imaginable, being trapped in Angel's mind and not being able to influence him or, you know, be an active part of him in any way. So he'd be, like, buried so deep in there. So I still like that.
Which, again, contradicts the idea that they are two separate minds. I'm just throwing it out there. But they come up with this explanation for the Beast, and then just nothing they follow up with makes any sense. But
I mean, it's not like I was imagining Angelus running commentary or something.
Yeah. Did you like making but those pancakes, this. Angel? Did they make you feel like a man? Remember that one time you killed a whole church? Yeah. All right, I'll go away now.
Remember convents?
Oh. He loves a good convent.
Which transitions nicely into my favorite line.
So tell us your favorite line, Brittany.
My favorite line is from Angelus when he says, "Hey man, you're preaching to the guy who ate the choir."
So good. My favorite line was when Cordelia's, like, disembodied voice goes, "I am not well pleased." And Angelus goes, "And I am not well deaf."
Oh my gosh, he's so funny.
His sarcasm is just amazing. I love
it. Standing there in the middle of the bar yelling at this thing. And everyone is too afraid to, like, comment.
And they can only hear his side.
I know.
That's so good. Mai, your favorite line?
It's surprisingly from Connor. Thought you were more of a taser girl, because it reminded me of when he got tasered.
Yes!
Okay, fair.
Repeatedly tasered.
Good times.
I missed that, Fred. And Ariana.
So we didn't really mention the fact that all of Cordelia's friends don't think it's weird at all that she hasn't come out of her room, or, like, nobody's gone up to check on her.
Yeah, they're like, she's stressed.
Okay. Like, Angelus is on the loose, and you're letting her, like, be in a room alone upstairs while everyone is, like, hanging out downstairs. And no one has really commented on that. But I did appreciate that. I mean, I think maybe it's because Connor keeps going up there, and the nope, as Gunn said, he doesn't want to know what they're doing. So. I really appreciated Lorne pointing out what we all think, that he's totally creepy and being like, odd bird, and getting birdier.
Lorne, as always, is a gift.
Shout out to Lorne.
Poor Lorne got hit with the taser, or not the taser, the tranquilizer, And then he was like, it was the first nap I'd had since the apocalypse started.
Yeah, and he was like, actually, I feel quite refreshed.
Oh, I love him so much. All right, that wraps up our discussion of Angel for this week. If you guys have any thoughts on these two episodes or anything we had to say about these episodes, you can send your thoughts to us. Keep them spoiler-free, please. Rewatchablepodcast@gmail.com. Tweet us at @re_watchable. Comment on this post on hypeable.com. Find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And review us on iTunes, which helps other people find the show. And if you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will save your soul by chopping off your head should the need arise.
Thanks. Only if the need arises.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not like Connor here, where we're just going to kill you because you once told us that maybe we'd have to.
Only if you have to.
Yes. All right, so we're going to move on to listener feedback. We got a couple of tweets. Ariana and Brittany, would you like to take those?
Sure. This first one is from Laura Morrow, and she said, "Rewatchable, you're about to see the only 4 episodes of Angel I've ever seen that have both some of my favorite moments in all the Buffyverse and one moment that before you began the rewatch made me swear never to watch Angel. Let's see how I feel after we are done." Is it when Cordelia is like macking on her son with her other son? Oh.
Or the Beast when she's macking
on the Beast? Or the Beast, yes.
And our next one comes from one of my favorite people, Danielle Wine Pizza, who says, "Been awake since 4, so I decided to watch this week's Angel episodes for Rewatchable. I don't understand how these episodes can make me so excited and so completely disgusted and nauseated at the same time." Been there.
Totally get it.
Here we are.
Ditto. All right, and we also got an iTunes review.
Yay!
Thank you. So this one comes from TabDuncan28. It says, "All the feels, 5 stars. I love this podcast. I listen to you all while I'm at work, and you make my day so much better. I've been a Buffy/Angel super fan for what feels like forever. Enjoy hearing everyone's opinions, even if I don't agree with some, and I love it when you can all make me see an episode I've seen a million times with a different viewpoint. Shout out to Natalie for her love of Spike. I, too, am obsessed with him." The reviewer, not me.
I was like, I was reading it and I'm like, oh, Caitlin's going to have to clarify.
And to Mitch for all of his outlandish theories that sometimes come true. Rat Amy, keep on being awesome and making my day rock. So Thank you for that excellent iTunes review. And we'll have to figure out which of our incentives Karen is going to have to get working on for that one. All right. And as usual, we are going to end with our newbie predictions. So we've got Adriana's answers and Brittany's brainstorms for next week's episodes, which are Buffy 717, Lies My Parents Told Me, and Angel 415, Orpheus.
And it's important that you watch these in this order, Natalie says, that you have to watch Buffy first.
Yes.
Interesting. So, Buffy, well, I feel like no one listens to any adult parental figures on this show, so everything they told them could have been a lie, if we take it quite literally. But I don't know with Buffy. I mean, I guess maybe we'll get to a point where they're going to find out that Faith is free, and they might need her for Slayer training, because, you know, she's got all these Slayers, even if she's a little busy at the moment.
What is Orpheus? Is that like a...
It's a Greek god, is it? Karen's going to kill me. I feel Karen getting angry.
I'm going to look this up, actually, because I feel like it's...
Oh, I got it. It is a Greek god. Okay. Whew. I'm off the hook with Karen. It's
a legendary... Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
It's Orpheus and Eurydice is the myth.
Oh, what is it? Tell me.
Orpheus was a musician and a poet, and his wife Eurydice died, basically, and Orpheus goes to the underworld to bring her back, and the only way he can take her back to the world of the living is if through the whole time they are ascending to the world of the living, he doesn't look back at her. So the whole time they go, but they get very close to the entrance and he checks back on her to make sure she's coming through, but she hadn't yet, so he didn't meet all the requirements, so she ends up getting sent back into the underworld forever.
Oh my gosh, that's a cool story. Maybe maybe Faith has to pretend to be a vampire and descend into the underworld of being vampires in order to get Angelus, to get on his good side, to find a way to bring Angel back.
She has to go into hell, but then right as she's about to come back up, she doesn't do it. And then Angelus is here forever, and it's great. I'm really just trying to make the show work for me.
And little does Brittany know, this show was renamed in season 5. All right, well, we will see what happens. So make sure you watch in this order, Buffy 717 and then Angel 415. The crossovers are going to start to make sense, guys, I promise. All right, so that wraps up our discussion for this week. We will have a whole new crew next week. And until next time, my name is Caitlin.
I'm Mai.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Brittany.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Two fifty, 250. 250.